Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Classroom Podcast. I'm your host, True Jose, at One True Jose on Instagram. And this is my new podcast, created to help you overcome the barriers in your life, become your truest self, and find your passion. Because guess what? We only get this one life. So let's get it started, shall we? Greetings, everybody. True Jose here. And lately, I have encountered quite a bit of people in my life, some of which include my own friends and family, that could use this episode. And so that's why I decided to create it. The episode is, as the title reads, Why Your Health Sucks. And this could equally be read, Why Your Health is Deteriorating. Why You're Always Having Health Problems. Or Why You're Always Sick. Now, before you change the dial or turn off this podcast, please don't. You know I love you and that I'm just trying to help you out. But seriously though, before you tune out, hear me out. The focus of this podcast is not going to be on me criticizing the way you eat or the way you wash your hands or the fact that you drink a lot of Red Bull or Monsters, even though I think those things are poison. The focus of this podcast is going to be on your mindset. As with everything we do at the Classroom Podcast, we want to fortify your mind so that you are ready to take on the world in any capacity. And in order to make these podcasts, I study. Yes, I study, believe it or not. I study on the topics that are relevant to me from the most trusted, reliable, and unbiased sources I could find so that I could bring you the information that could help you work on your life, your mindset, and of course, help you become your truest self. So what I have found in my studies recently is there is a direct correlation between the time you spend being miserable and your health. I could say it another way. There is a direct correlation between how you feel on a day-to-day basis and your health. And people who are known to spend their days happier tend to be healthier. Listen to that again. People who spend their days happier tend to be healthier. As I mentioned before, I feel that a lot of people need to hear this. The happier you are, the healthier you will be. And the more miserable you are, the more unhealthy you will be. So then, what do I mean by misery? I mean the state of mind that you spend most of your day in. I mean the state of stress or level of stress you put your body through throughout the day. I mean the emotions that you stew on in a daily basis. That's what I mean by misery. One of the top mentors in my own life, Dr. Joe Dispenza, calls this an incoherent state. And he defines an incoherent state as an altered state of being where your brain is incoherent and your heart is incoherent. What causes these states of incoherence? Well, there's no shortage of causes. Your job stresses you out. Your boss stresses you out. Your kids stress you out. Your partner stresses you out. Your family stresses you out. Your dog stresses you out. Your goldfish stresses you out. Need I say more? In the 21st century, it has become extremely easy to be stressed out. Your Instagram stresses you out, whether you recognize it or not, because you compare yourself to others. More on this on another episode. Your Facebook stresses you out. Your TV programs stress you out. Your Mexican novelas stress you out. Whoa. Hold on a second there, buckaroo. Don't you be talking about my novelas, because now you're going too far. I could already see the chanclas that went up into the air as I said that. No, but I'm being serious. Hear me out. But of course, you may be arguing, my TV programs don't stress me out. They help me relax. No, they don't. Really? See, do you want to know why the most successful programs on TV are the programs with the most drama? It is because they make you feel as you predominantly feel throughout the day. Let me explain. Some of us, according to Dr. Joe Dispenza, About 70% of society today is constantly living in a state of stress. Constantly. The majority of society has become conditioned and addicted to the hormones of stress. The very hormones they don't even like. I mean, I hope you don't like them. I don't believe anyone gets up in the morning with a huge smile on their face and says, "Today is the day I want to be miserable." I hope you don't say that. And if you do, you should probably get yourself some professional help. Seriously. On that note, in Buddhism, the Buddhist perspective likes to say that our emotions are like seeds in our mind. Our brains have seeds for all types of emotions, both positive and negative. And as you go throughout your day, throughout your life, you tend to water the seeds of what you dominantly feel throughout the day. What this means is that if you spend your day mainly in stress, you tend to water the seeds of stress in your brain most often. And what happens to those seeds? They grow, and they grow big. They grow into plants, then they become trees. And then some of you have 1,000-ton trees living in your brain that represent the very emotions you don't even want to experience. Anger, hate, despair, misery, stress. All of those seeds are dominantly watered by your day-to-day experiences. So then, why did I call out your social media and your TV programs like your novellas or your scary movies if those quote-unquote help you relax? Well, when you are watching your TV programs and the main characters are getting into a fight, arguing, crying, etc., when there is drama, what is that making you feel inside? Really, ask yourself, what is that making you feel inside? In fact, next time you are watching that stressful TV program, recognize how you feel as you are watching that program. Sure, the experience may not be happening to you, but you still feel the same stress that the characters in your program are experiencing. And yet you say, "Well, these are the TV programs that I like." No, those are the TV programs you have become chemically conditioned to like. Those are the TV programs that you are chemically and emotionally addicted to like. And the same goes for your social media. One example, if you look at a social media page of a perfect couple or someone having the perfect vacation, you are actually subconsciously being reminded, whether you recognize it or not, of the fact that you lack that perfection. And guess what? Perfection doesn't even exist. It's all fake. And yet you are feeling miserable by comparison. There's a reason why there's a quote that reads, "Comparison is the enemy of happiness." Alternatively, if you spend time on social media just to see the news or what news is going on in the world, you may as well say, "I spend my time on social media to see what drama I can see in the world." Are you catching my drift by now? So why did I go on this rant about stress and misery? I went on this rant because if you maintain your body in a constant state of stress and misery, your body will begin to deteriorate and your health will suffer. That is under any type of stress, not just social media and TV programs. That includes the stress you feel at work, at home, the stress you share with your friends every day. You can't forget that one. Stress is everywhere. Some of us just live in a constant state of stress. Dr. Joe Dispenza states that new studies have found that over 90% of all diseases are caused by the body being under a constant state of stress. And that, my friends, is why I am creating this podcast episode, to bring awareness to this issue. I don't want any of you to live in a constant state of stress, so much so that your body begins to deteriorate, your health begins to deteriorate from it. Side note, do you want to know why alcohol and drugs and cigarettes, etc., are so highly addicting? Because they give people who are always under a state of stress a brief moment to relax. But that is the wrong way to do it. Because that isn't a cure. That is a damaging form of sedation, okay? Don't do that stuff. And if you already do, try to stop. It's not good for you. If you want a real solution, that's why you're listening to the Classroom Podcast. I'm going to give you the habits I use in my own life to live my life as much as I can, a stress-free, drama-free zone. Now, I know you cannot control everything that comes into your life. And I'm not saying that you can or you will. But what I am saying is that you have control over the most important aspect of your stress. You. So here are some quick mindset tips that you could begin to implement into your life right now that will reduce the amount of stress in your life. Number one, meditate. For those of you who have never meditated before, don't judge it until you've tried it. Meditation helps create space in your mind. It is scientifically known that throughout a single day, we think anywhere from 60 to 80,000 thoughts. 60 to 80,000 thoughts. That's a lot of thinking, folks. So I ask you, where is the space in your mind? Well, meditation will help you create that space. A lot of times, our brains are incoherent in a storm just from the sheer amount of thinking that we do. There could be nothing going wrong with us, and yet we begin to stress ourselves out with our thoughts alone. I want you to think of meditation as a small pause from those storms caused by your thoughts and stressful thinking. And when you get really good at it, meditation will become a place that you will come to truly relax. Watching TV programs that stress you out is not real relaxation. Browsing social media is not relaxation. Drinking or doing drugs are definitely not relaxation. These things I just mentioned are nothing but attempted escapes, but they do nothing to solve the real problem, your overworked brain. Meditation is relaxation. That rhymes. Remember that. Meditation is relaxation. That is why I want you to get into the practice, because meditation is the relaxation you have been seeking all along that you didn't even know you needed. Try it. 10 minutes a day. Everyone has 10 minutes a day. I could pull up your phone's screen time record and see all that time you spend on social media, on YouTube, on the internet, reading news. If you have that much time for stressful behaviors, you have time to create space and relaxation in your mind. Begin to meditate. I promise. You can only feel better from it. Strategy number two, metacognition, also known as an awareness of how you think and feel. A little known benefit of meditation is that it helps you build your ability to have metacognition. What is metacognition, you ask? Metacognition is the ability to become aware of how you think and how you feel on a daily basis. What does this mean? Well, let me explain this to you throughout an example. Have you ever found yourself stuck on a thought that you couldn't just seem to let go of? Let me further elaborate. Say you are thinking about how much you dislike your boss. You start with a simple thought. Damn, I really don't like my boss. Then you begin to pile another thought on top of that. You know, I really hate it when my boss does this to me. Then you begin to pile another thought on top of that one. Man, I really wish I could punch my boss in the face. Then, suddenly, you are saying to yourself, I really wish that my boss would just get in a wreck, suffer a divorce, get launched into space to the other side of the moon. No, I'm serious though. I'm serious. Have you ever been caught in one of these storms? I'm sure that we all have. And if you say no, you're probably not being honest with yourself. And I feel the need to clarify, it doesn't need to be your boss. It could be someone else. It could be something else. It could even be you. That's right. Sometimes we dive into storms of thought wherein we think how much we hate ourselves and how much we hate our own lives. Let me pause there for a minute. Do you think that's a healthy thing to do? Of course not. And that's why metacognition is so important. See, when we let one of our thoughts run away from us, like what I just explained, we begin to do a process that therapists call piling. And piling is the action of taking one thought, adding more to it, and adding more to it and adding more to it until it runs away from you and makes you feel like absolute crap. That's piling. All of us do it. A lot of us are not aware that we are doing it. And the results are always the same. When it happens, you stress yourself out to a point where you feel like crap. And you are doing this with your thoughts alone. No one or nothing else is doing this to you. It is you who is doing it to you. Now, I know you could have a boss that is an absolute jerk. And if that's happening to you, I'm sorry. But maybe it's time to get another job. I mean, I already have an episode on that. You could go listen to it. It's titled, I Hate My Job. So then, to continue, as you begin to meditate, a side effect of meditation is that you begin to develop a higher level of awareness, wherein you can begin to see when you are going in the direction of a thought storm. This higher level of awareness is metacognition, and it is such an essential tool to help you reduce the amount of stress in your life. I practice meditation daily, and I can't tell you how many times metacognition has saved me from a storm of stress that could have been created by my thoughts alone. One final note here. Know this, you are never going to be able to shut off your refractory emotions. What do I mean by this? You are a human, and you will always have immediate reactions to stressful situations. We are human, and we are built both with positive and negative emotions. And that's not the problem we are trying to solve here. What we are trying to do with metacognition is lower the amount of time you spend stuck in those emotions. Because the longer you spend in a state of stress, the more you harm yourself, the more you harm your health with thought alone. Strategy number 3, and appropriately so, is change the way you talk about yourself and change the way you talk to yourself. I don't think many of us understand just how impactful this really is. In fact, I was talking to one of my best friends the other day, a beautiful mother of 3. She's single. She has a beautiful heart. She's a kind and loving person. She's basically a catch. And yet, when I asked her how she was doing, how her goals and her dreams were coming along, she said this to me. I have not progressed on anything. I've gotten comfortable, and I'm just going to accept the fact that I'm old and fat. It was at this point that I called her out on her BS and said, my friend, you are so smart and stupid at the same time. You're smart enough to know what is wrong with you and stupid enough to keep doing it. And guess what? She agreed. And when she listens to this episode, she will know exactly that I am talking about her. But here's the thing. I know my friend. She has such a beautiful soul. She is beautiful physically as well. And on top of that, she has a killer personality and an amazing heart. My friend is a catch. And the guy who ends up with her is basically winning the relationship lottery. But, and there's a big but here. See, it doesn't matter how I see my friend. What truly matters is how she sees herself. See, I know my friend, and she has many insecurities. Life has beat her down, sure. But her true problem is that she has allowed her insecurities to define her. And what did this cause? Well, it caused her to begin to talk about herself negatively. And because the way we talk about ourselves influences the way we think about ourselves, she became the very thing she didn't like. I'll put it another way. By her being the one telling herself she is old and fat, she now appears old and fat. Do you see why it is so important to watch the way we talk about ourselves? We become that which we say and believe. If all you say and believe is that you are a useless nobody, you will become a useless nobody. And here's the kicker. Nobody is doing this to you. It is you who is doing it to yourself. I can go up to an ultra marathoner. You know, those guys and girls who run like 100 miles on a single weekend. Yeah, I could go up to one of those guys or girls and tell them, hey, you're fat. And here's the secret. There is not a single ounce of fat in their body. But If they accept that definition of themselves, they will become that definition. In other words, it is not about what people say about you. It is what you say about you. That's what defines you. You can't control what people say, but you can control what you let into your being. That's why I want you to change the way you talk about yourself. Try it. Try it for 1 week and see what kind of tremendous impact this will have on your life. I'm serious. You will be surprised by what can happen if you took all that negativity you have towards yourself and changed it to positivity. This one tip alone, if you follow it, will move mountains for you. And even better, if you make this a habit and a daily routine for yourself, you will become all of the positive things you say about yourself. Holy smokes. Just like you can become the negative things you say, you can also become the positive things you say. It's called self-love. And at first, it will seem awkward. It will seem awkward because you are not used to doing this for yourself. I'll tell you what I do. Every day, I look in the mirror and I make it a point to look at myself and say, I love you. I started doing this practice so long ago that now it is natural to me. I'll look at the mirror and say to myself, hey, I love you. I mean it. I freaking love you. I love all the things you are. I love all the things you are doing to keep us going. You're amazing. Keep it up. Keep going. Nowadays, it's become easy for me to do that because I realized the impact I was having on my own self with the negative self-talk I did every day. And I know at first it will be hard. At first it will be awkward, but do it. You owe it to yourself. Do it. Especially if you are a person who gives a lot of love to everybody else, but forgets to give love to the person that matters most, yourself. Change the way you talk about yourself and change the way you talk to yourself. And if you have a moment today, look at a mirror, look into your eyes and say, hey, I love you. You deserve that. You've been deserving that for a long time now. If you begin to follow this tip, it will change who you are. Don't believe me? Try it. Strategy number 4, be wary of the things you consume. And I'm not just talking about the food you eat here, but the media and the negative people you associate with as well. What I am trying to focus on here is, I mean, sure, if you eat like crap, you're going to feel like crap. You know that. What I am really trying to focus on here is be mindful of what you are allowing your mind to consume on a daily basis. Be mindful that those dramatic TV programs are actually making you feel as if you are going through that drama. Be mindful that those dramatic TV programs are actually making your body feel as if it is the one that is going through that drama. Be mindful that the social media pages you are looking at are actually making you feel insecure and irrelevant. Be mindful that the news you are watching that is saying that the world is about to end is actually making you feel worried. Did you notice that? Did you notice that the things you are consuming are actually changing the way you feel? And here's the kicker with this one. If you have been doing this to yourself for so long, to you, all of this actually feels normal. What? Jose, that's not true. Oh, but it is, my dear friends. The media you consume, even if it is just quote unquote to relax, is a direct reflection of the altered state of emotions you are currently addicted to. What? No way. Now you're taking it too far. No, I'm not. I'm serious. That's the reason why you find watching a scary movie or a dramatic TV program more interesting than watching a nice documentary that inspires you. There is a reason why social media is more interesting than reading a great book on your spare time. There's a reason why complaining about your life to your friends feels normal to you. And when you meet up with those group of friends, you are ready to be negative and complain. There's a reason why eating McDonald's is more interesting to you than making a healthy meal. That reason is you are addicted to the very emotions that keep you feeling bad. and you don't even know it. Don't believe me? Let's do a small experiment with this one. If you're in a safe place and not driving, take out your phone and delete all of your social media apps. All of them. Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, YouTube, TikTok. I don't even know how many there are nowadays. Delete them all. And instead, pick up a book that seems interesting for you to read and carry it around with you. Tell me, how long do you think you could realistically last before having to re-download those apps again? I'll tell you what happened to me when I first did it. My fingers would unlock my phone and would literally automatically go to the areas where the apps used to be and try to press something. I remember that. I would delete these apps, and in the morning, by lunchtime, I was already back on them. Let me ask you all something. How could you claim you're not addicted to something that you are really addicted to? How? I'm serious. How could you claim you're not addicted to something that you are really addicted to? Or if you already don't spend time on social media, great. How about next time you meet up with your friends, you make a pact that none of you are allowed to complain about your lives? No one. How long do you think that could last? Try that. You know what this is? This is awareness. It's like what I told my friend. How could you be so smart and so stupid at the same time? How could we see the things that are affecting us, affecting our mindset, affecting our state of being, and yet we continue doing them? I personally don't use social media. You hear me promoting my Instagram at the beginning and at the end of this podcast, but to me, truthfully, it is only a promotion tool to help grow my presence, to help grow my audience. Nothing more than that. You won't catch me browsing through Instagram trying to find the latest trends or keep up with my friends. I don't do any of that. If I want to keep up with my friends, I'll pick up the phone and give them a call. In fact, I don't even have social media apps on my phone. I only use Instagram while I'm working on my podcast on my computer. And I only use it to post or reply to your beautiful messages that I receive. That's it. So then, what are my tips and suggestions you could do here? Try to begin to lower the amount of social media you consume to the point that you get it down to none. Instead of browsing social media, pick up a great book and begin to read. Learn something new. Learning will expand your mind into new possibilities. When you meet up with your friends that all of you normally complain about each other's lives to, instead of complaining, try switching the conversation to something positive. Oh man, that may be awkward, especially if you bond with your friends through misery, but it is important for you to keep your circle of closest friends on the same page as you. An additional tip here could be to get your friends into the spirit of trying to be their truest selves. You get your friends into the classroom podcast and you show them this episode so that they could know what you are trying to do, that you are trying to change your life for the positive. If you want to watch a TV program with your family and friends every now and then, that's fine, but why not watch a funny movie? Why not watch a funny show? Or even better, why not watch a movie or show that could inspire you? There are plenty of those out there. There are even some channels just focused on that alone. With respect to the food you eat, that's self-explanatory. If you eat crappy foods, you will feel like crap. If you eat healthy foods, you will feel good. Easy as that. You know this. And finally, strategy number 5, be thankful. Spend your day in gratitude. We've all heard this one. We've all had someone tell us, be thankful for what you have. And that's difficult, especially if you are going through a state of stress and incoherence. Or especially if we don't change the way we talk about ourselves. That is why this entire list of 5 strategies and tips are related to one another. Well, I want to tell you that gratitude is one of the most powerful, if not the most powerful emotion in this universe, apart from love. And if you begin to express more gratitude throughout your day, you can begin to change your state of being from that of stress to being able to open up your heart. That's what we're really trying to do here with this one. Open up your heart. If you spend the majority of your life recently, or maybe in the past few years, feeling like crap, chances are feeling like crap has become the new normal to you. And that is why when somebody tells you to be thankful for what you have, you almost look at them with disgust. It's not because you don't understand the concept. It's because you have spent the majority of your days feeling like crap. To you as a person, you can't actually feel thankful. You get it? In other words, your heart has become closed off by your constant reinforcement and addiction to misery. So then, I'm going to reveal the big secret for you here so that you could know why you are doing what you are doing. And maybe you could actually begin doing it. I am asking you to be thankful, not so you could be fake, which it will certainly feel like that at the start because you are not used to it. I am asking you to be thankful so that you could begin to open up your heart. That's the secret. I personally struggle with this one too. I always had my heart so closed off because of my upbringing, because of the way I talked about myself, because of the way I looked at the world. I remember the first time someone had me be thankful. I looked at them with disgust and I said, "What's that?" Thinking back, that was terrible. What I didn't realize at that time was that I had closed off my heart so much. Closed off my heart to my life, closed off my heart to love, closed off my heart to gratitude and to compassion, that I didn't even know how to feel those emotions anymore. What changed for me was that I began to do the things that I am describing to you here, and I began to be thankful even when I didn't feel it at the start. Over time, though, I will say this, over time, I began to open up my heart, and that is why I want you to do this exercise too. I want your heart to begin to open up, because if the concept of being thankful for what you have sounds foreign to you, chances are your heart is closed off as well. An exercise that I have found that really has helped people is to either have a moment of gratitude throughout the day or create a gratitude list. In fact, I have found that a lot of successful, happy people will have their moment of gratitude when they're brushing their teeth. Try it. This is the one that I do. When I brush my teeth, I literally begin to be thankful for everything that I have, everything that I have had, and everything that I will receive. And when I am saying these things to myself in the mirror, I really try to feel them in my heart. I'm not going to lie. At first, it was weird. At first, it wasn't easy. But then it became more natural. And even more so, I began to feel the gratitude in my heart. And I could say the things that I was thankful for with a huge smile on my face. That's when you know that you are getting to the point where you are activating your heart again. A gratitude list is the same concept. You could take a piece of paper or use the notes app on your phone and write down 5 to 10 things that you are thankful for every day and make this a daily practice. You will be surprised as to how great it will begin to feel if you truly dive into it. Remember, I am telling you the big secret with this exercise. I want to help open your heart again and shift your state of being from one of misery and stress to one of happiness and gratitude. Which would you rather be in? And so, my beautiful audience, notice that the solutions I gave you to solve your stress are not strictly physically based, but mentally based. Number one, meditate. Number two, metacognition, also known as becoming aware of what you think. Number three, change the way you talk about yourself. Number four, be mindful of the things you consume. And number five, be thankful. All of these exercises and techniques are designed to work on the most important thing that keeps you from being able to change into who you truly want to be, your mindset. I want you all to know that we are always one decision away from being able to become who we have always wanted to be, from getting the job we've always wanted, from getting the relationship we've always desired, from getting the body we have always dreamed of having. We are always one decision away from being able to have whatever it is that we want to have in this life. Really, we are. The thing that keeps you from seeing the simplicity in this formula is your mindset. And that is why you are subscribed to the Classroom Podcast, where we help talk you through and guide you through the process of becoming your truest self. whatever that may be for you. After all, we are our own greatest roadblocks sometimes. No, let me rephrase that. We are our only roadblock in this life. So why not begin to overcome ourselves by changing our mindset and then living the life we truly want to live? This has been True Jose of the Classroom Podcast. Follow me on Instagram at @onetruejose. And remember, to me, Instagram is just a promotion tool. I'm not kidding, by the way. And send me a DM telling me which one of these practices you would like to take on. If you can't do them all, that's fine. Try one and send me a DM telling me how it worked out for you. Try it, even if it's just for 1 or 2 weeks. What's the worst that could happen? You might feel a little better and be inspired to do more for yourself. Wink, wink. Have a beautiful day. Have a beautiful evening. Or have a beautiful night. And remember, always be the creator of your life, not the victim. True Jose, I'm out.